Gee, agus Falchuk go Gian Clark coming Luke Clascale and shocked on the shuttle. Me Tom Comack with you as always on a Wednesday night, right up until 9 o'clock. So do hope you can stay with us. And well, coming up in tonight's programme, joined by former Donegal star Manus Boyle and ex Sligo and St Junan star Brendan Kilcoyne, they will reflect on last Sunday's Donegal Senior Championship final meeting of St Junan's and Dunsweely. Of course, that game won, that final won by St Junan's, who claimed a 14th Donegal Senior Championship title. And our congratulations to St Junan's, commiserations to Dunsweely, of course, the reigning champions. And we'll also be discussing with Brendan and with Manus their thoughts on the overall championship and how they rated it, and indeed look ahead maybe to St Junan's prospects in the Ulster Club Championship. But first of all, before that, as we said, congratulations to St Junan's, commiserations to Dunsweely. It's also a big hearty congratulations as well to Termin Ladies. They're the Ulster Ladies Senior Champions following their 4-7 to 3-8 victory over, well, shall we say, the kingpins of Ulster Ladies football over the last 5 to 6 years, Donnymoyne from Monaghan, and Gerdy McLaughlin with 3-3, Roisin Freel a goal and 2 points, and Maureen O'Donnell chipped in with 2 points. They scored for Termin in that one, and that's a second title for the Termin ladies, who now advance to play the Connacht champions, not quite sure who they are, in the All-Ireland semi-final. Our commiserations and our sympathies goes to the four Masters ladies, who, well, I'm not quite sure how to describe it, but they seem to have won at one stage the Ulster Intermediate Championship final, and, well, against Monaghan Harps, but eventually, as was decided last night by the Ulster Ladies GA Council, to award the game to Monaghan Harps. A most bizarre situation, this. The game ended, I think genuinely most people felt it was Monaghan Harps a goal and 8 points for Masters 2-4, which would be a 1 point win for the Monaghan champions. But in the course of the second half, the referee for the game told the players, the four Masters players, and indeed a number of the Monaghan Harps players, that four Masters were 2 points ahead, and they played accordingly, thinking that in the closing minutes that all they had to do was to keep out Monaghan Harps. But there was bedlam at the finish. Four Masters celebrated, and well, Monaghan Harps complained, and after a long discussion with the officials, it was actually announced as a draw, 2-5 to Four Masters, 1-8 to Monaghan Harps. But that was all overturned last night, and I do understand the Four Masters club, nobody was willing to speak with us tonight, because they're holding a meeting tonight to discuss their options, and one of those is appealing that decision last night. So we'll wait the outcome of that meeting tonight, and if we hear Anthony before we go off here at 9 o'clock, we'll let you know. A big hearty congratulations to Danny Kelly and Oris as well. They travelled all the way to Cavan, Kingspan Breffni Park on Sunday, and they recorded a first round victory over Arva, the Cavan Junior Champions. That's in the Ulster Junior Championships, 2-6 to 9 points. That's how it ended. And Oris, the Donegal Junior Champions, will now face Katie from Armagh in the semi-final on Sunday week. And a big congratulations as well to St Enda's of Omagh. They certainly got tongues wagging around the province of Ulster on Sunday evening when they dethroned the reigning champions, the mighty Cross Midland Rangers. 2-8 to 1-9, that's how it ended. Cross Midland ended the game with 13 players on the field, but a big upset for that one. And of course, St Junan's, the Donegal champions, in Ulster Club Championship action this weekend. We'll talk a little bit later about that. They're facing Ross Leigh from Fermanagh. Yeah, that game is in O'Donnell Park. But as I said, I'm joined by Brendan Kilcoyne and by Manus Boyle. And first of all, Manus, a very good night to you.
Very good night to you, Tom.
And Brendan, good night to you as well. Brendan.
Hello, lads. How are you, Manus? How are you?
Good stuff. Well, we'll start with you, Manus, first of all. What did you make of last Sunday's Donegal final, football-wise? We'll talk about the result and how what impressed you about St Junan's first, but football-wise, what did you make of it?
Well, it probably wasn't the greatest spectacle, I don't think, but I think the majority of people that have gone to the championship matches this year will have expected that. I think it's more the team now that can grind it out, that has that extra bit of know-how, extra bit of composure, and have a couple, maybe two or three forwards that are capable of kicking the ball over the bar, maybe from further out than many teams have set themselves up. I think it's the team that always comes through. But it wasn't a great game, Tom, if you're looking for the old spectacle of high fielding and nice, loose running football. But in fairness, it was a good game in the sense that it was very competitive. And the discipline on both sides was exceptional because it was a derby game, and you would have felt that maybe tempers might have flared a wee bit more, but both sets of players conducted themselves in a great manner. And I'd have to say I was impressed with both teams, but especially St Union's, the way they handled themselves and the way they were composed.
Yeah.
And the way they controlled the game at times, even though at times Glenswally got back into it. But St Union's never panicked, and they were always in control.
Yeah. And Brendan, likewise, what was your thoughts on the game in terms of, I know where your heart was, but I know speaking to you on Friday evening, your head was very much St Jonas as well. But from a football-wise point of view, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I think Matt has summed it up very well there, Tom. You know, it was an intense game that was very heavily contested all over the park. Unions, you know, got a full foothold on the game, and they got into a 4-1 lead, and they looked comfortable. Now, to be fair to Glenswilly, they came back into the game and made it, I think, 4 points apiece before young Conor Gibbons put another point over the bar just before halftime, using goals slightly ahead. But Unions, to me, Tom, always through the game appeared to be the better team. But you were at the match, and it was enjoyable for the intensity of it. You were always aware that one ball into Murphy could have ended up in the back of the net, and that would have changed the whole swing of the game. Now, it didn't happen, and much of that is credit to Unions and the back line and the way they defend it. But again, as Manus alluded to earlier, you know, the championship was set up very defensively. A lot of teams are going out with this 12, 13, 14 men behind the ball. So the expectations were that it was going to be a dour, heavily contested game. It was actually an enjoyable enough game. Sometimes I think we want to see mad, flowing football, and there's all this talk about that. You're not going to see too much of that, really, Tom. And, you know, the way the game has evolved over the last few years, and will continue to evolve maybe away from that too. But I felt maybe Unions were just that bit braver and bit sharper and got the crucial scores at crucial times. And they had a period of dominance in the second half that they really probably should have put Glenswilly to bed a bit more, and they didn't take advantage of that. There were a couple of turnovers that they would be disappointed in. But overall, I think Unions were deserving winners in what was, as I said, a deeply contested game.
And obviously, Manus, we'll talk about it a little bit later in the programme when we discuss your thoughts on the overall championship, but the game has become very tactical, has it, compared to, I know when you were playing and winning championships, there was a certain amount of tactics, but at least there was a little bit of freedom and a little bit of room for forwards. I'm sure you have great sympathy for inside forwards, particularly nowadays.
Well, absolutely, Tom. When we played, you know, you knew that when somebody picked you up at the start, you know, you didn't expect to see another one or two standing around you, you know.
You might get a clip on the ear, all right, but...
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I don't know what Manus Boyle you're talking about. But, you know, I go back to... I happened to be at the Ardra Glentys match in Donegal Town, where 9 Ardra defenders marked Leon Thompson, you know, while the ball was in the other end of the pitch. Mm. And Ardra were winning by 5 points.
Mm.
You know, and that kind of summed up up the way football has been played.
What did you make of St Unions on Sunday, Manus?
Well, you see, Unions, in fairness, they didn't employ a sweeper in the sense that the sweeper was in his defence at all times. Their sweeper actually joined in an attack. You know, whoever the sweeper was at the time, and I think it depended on who Glenswilly had in on the edge of the square. And, you know, they just seemed to be in control. They knew what they were at. Maxi had them well set up. He had them well tutored and who to pick up Murphy when he came in, who to close him down. You know, and I noticed when Murphy came into the full forward line, there was probably 2 extra defenders in front of him. But when Murphy went out into the middle of the field, there was only 1 maybe spare at any time, and sometimes it was just man on man.
Mm.
But I mean, If you can, when you play Glenswilly, if you can close down Murphy, you have a better chance than if you don't.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought St Junan's done that well. I thought Maxi had them, you know, he had them primed, and he had a number of players that, you know, young lads that, you know, found their feet in the league, and they kept their place in the championship, and he kept faith with them, which is, you know, considering the amount of talent that
I think the one word that springs to mind when I reflect on the game was the patience that St Junan showed.
Yeah, well, they had the composure, Tom. I mean, they certainly worked on their drills during the week were probably a lot of hand passing and keeping the ball, and they certainly had the composure. It reminded me a lot of the way Donegal faced Dublin. They were very composed on the ball. They didn't panic at any time, you know, and they kept their shape. And there was a good bit of that about St Junan's on Sunday, because Michaels are a big, Glenswally are a big physical team, and they can get about, and they have good quality players. Yeah. But St Junan's seemed to make them that bit ordinary, you know. And yeah. It was fine. They let Neil Goller have the ball, and Gary McFadden, they let them have the ball outside the 50, but once they came inside the 50, they just closed them down. And I thought they were well set up tactically, you know, had it spot on, you know.
Who are the individuals from a Union's point of view? We'll talk about Linswilly in a minute. Who are the individuals on a St Union's point of view that impressed you?
Well, I thought Eamon Doherty had a fine game. I thought Conal Dunn, as usual, you know, he just continues to do good work all the time, probably goes unnoticed. Rory Cavanagh must have covered every blade of grass there was. He was up and down the field. Great fetch at the end, just in front of Murphy, when, you know, you would probably expect Murphy to get her and have a chance, but Rory kind of sussed it out, and considering that he had made the pass at the other end of the pitch, it was brilliant the way he got back. John Harn for 38. I'm not sure, is it 7 or 8 championships? There's a debate about that one.
Yeah.
But
it's some record. He played in his 12th championship on Sunday. And okay, you can debate 97 all you want, and where it went to. But as he said to me afterwards, he played 12 and he only lost 4 on the field. It's some record.
Yeah, it's a great record, and I have to say, his positional sense, his discipline, his use of the ball again on Sunday was exceptional. And you know, for somebody of that age to still have the desire and the hunger to continue to play at that level says a lot about him, you know.
Yeah.
I thought young Hennessy too at fullback was, you know, whenever he had to go in on top of Murphy, I thought he was very, very good. And a couple of St Junan's supporters said that he struggled at times last year. You know, even in the reserves, he struggled. But whatever Max had done with him this year, he was very good.
Yeah, and Brendan, that's a point about it, because you know, Sean Hinsey was probably known as a midfielder or maybe as a forward. Not very few ever saw him playing back in defence. Would it be correct in saying, Brendan?
And it was a kind of, you know, there was a surprise about, you know, Sean going back in defence. But speaking to the lads through the championship, they reckon that he was going very well at training. And, you know, he's played very well now against St. Michael's when he was back, Mark, and Colin McFadden, and again, likewise, against Michael Murphy. And you don't come up against two better forwards than that. Now, albeit he was been aided by sweepers and that kind of thing, but even at that, the way he drove out with force with the ball on Sunday was impressive. And anything he did well. So, you know, Maxi deserves great credit. He got some great performances out of players. You know, Eamon Doherty had his best game at number 6, his best game in a Union's jersey that I can remember seeing him playing over the last number of years. And, you know, all the players that Maxi mentioned, but also the young lads then, young Connor Park, Connor Morrison, Darren Mulgrew, Keelan Ward, all these lads, you know, made a major impression, as Rory Caron. So, you know, we spoke in the lead up to the match about the mix and the different generations that are in that Union's team, and he just blended them all very well together and had a definitive plan that they stuck rigidly to and worked awful hard at. And that's, you know, the Maxi deserves great credit for that, as do the players, because Maxi can only give them the message. The players go out on the pitch and kind of put that message out. And you looked at the way they were playing on Sunday, you know, I think they identified that Glenswilly defended maybe narrow through the middle, and they kept poaching up and down the wings, and then they'd walk the ball back around until they did prize an opening, which did come, albeit very rarely. Okay, they only got 9 scores, but it was enough to win the game on the day, and it was that patience and composure on the ball by both the young and the old players that pulled them through on the day, I think, Tom.
Yeah, and Brendan, talk to me about Glenswilly. Was it an off day for Glenswilly, or is that maybe a little unfair on St Jonas, the way they were set up and the way they were tactically prepared for them?
Yeah, I think you have to give all the credit here to St Junan's, you know. But, like, here, you look at Michael Murphy, and, you know, top footballer possibly in the country at the minute, and he wasn't a massive feature in the game on Sunday. Now, Michael Murphy is after playing, as did Rory Cavanagh, granted, and Neil Gallagher. And Neil Gallagher had a fantastic game on Sunday. But they're after playing 7 Sundays in a row in championship football that are both mentally and physically draining. And, you know, maybe there was a bit of fatigue there. Maybe just Unions came through the whole procedure better. And, you know, it's kind of ironic. The two teams that Donegal have got to the All-Ireland final and it's been played like a shotgun championship. Unions have now come out on top twice in them two championships. But Unions haven't really used an awful lot of their bench if you look at it over the last few days. And, okay, we brought on, you know, they were lucky enough that a footballer of the ability of Mark McGowan to bring on again on Sunday when, you know, to lose Kevin Raths really would have been a big thing. But they were able to bring on someone like Mark McGowan. But, and looking at, you know, Glenn Swilly, they didn't have a player, you know, I suppose losing out on Keelan Kelly again stretched the resources that bit more. And they just didn't appear to come through that six-week period as well as Unions did. Unions looked fresher, brighter, sharper on Sunday, Tom.
Yeah, and just, we mustn't forget Kevin Rafferty. Have you heard how he is, Brendan? I know he could pick up a nasty eye injury.
Yeah, and I was speaking to him after the game, and, you know, he's obviously, you know, he was heavily plastered, and I think he was to see someone maybe today in relation to it. But I don't think there's any serious damage. And there is a bit of hope that he might be all right for next Sunday. But again, don't quote me on that. I'm unsure. Maybe that's wishful thinking on my behalf, Tom, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, Tato Igeirsa Gleisran Clark, coming Luke Askin, La Shachtan, La Shachtan, me, Tom Cormack. My special guests tonight are Brendan Kilcoyne and Manus Boyle. And we're reflecting back on St. Jonah's victory over Glen Swilly in Sunday's Donegal Senior Championship Final. Brendan, looking back on the championship overall, how would you rate it? How would you make it? What would you make of it?
It mixed the good with the bad and the ugly at times, Tom, you know. And there were, you know, there were some very enjoyable games, so there was the whole way through the championship. And I think, again, sometimes people are expecting this free-flowing football. Now, all that said, there is a very defensive element coming into Donegal football in particular.
Yeah.
At several games, and I was at the same game that Manus was at down in Donegal Town. And I remember looking back, and I was with Colin McFadden's father looking back and seeing them nine players, Mark and Leon Town. And it was such a strange sight. But that was a regular sight throughout the championship to see so many defenders sitting. And, you know, so my concern here is that managers are going into dressing rooms, Tom, and not looking at the actual players that they have at their disposal. They're just going to say, right, we're going to play defensive. We're going to all get behind the ball when we don't have it. That's fine if you're working with a certain type of player. You know, I look at Glenties or Niamh Connell, and I, you know, they have some fantastic footballers, but they're all playing in their own half of the field. And when you see the likes of Brick Malloy back in his own full back line on a regular basis through a game, you want him up close to ball, getting the ball where he can swing it over with his left foot. And there was a huge element of that. And the same can be said, namely, of Michaels. And Michaels were successful, they got to a semi-final. But I think maybe that if they look at the resources and the quality of the player that they could have going forward and take the risk, take the chance, and, you know, maybe some teams might come out a bit better. Listen, I enjoy the championship from the point of view, Tom, those games to go to, and it was, you know, from a supporter's point of view, it's fine because you're going to a game every week or every couple of days you're going to a game. I do understand that it can put strain on panel managers and, you know, subs and injuries don't get time to clear up. But from a spectator's point of view, it was certainly created a lot of interest over 6 weeks and it kept us all busy over the 6 weeks.
Man,
the standard varied.
Yeah. And Manus, what did you make of it?
Well, it's an interesting point that when it has been played in consecutive weeks that St. Jonas have quite on top. They are the biggest club in the county. They have the strongest squad. I mean, you can pay attention to that because they were in the reserve final as well, you know, which is, you know, fairly shows how much strength that they have in depth that they can get into that as well. I don't like... you know, championship having to be playing week after week after week. I don't think club players should be expected to play week after week when we don't expect inter-county players to play week after week and they're better prepared, they're fitter, they're looked after better. And I don't think it's fair on the club play, ordinary club player that he's asked to train from January, February last year and have to wait till October to play his championship. I think it's disrespectful to say the least.
Yeah.
On the championship itself, you know, there was some very good games, some compelling games. You know, Unions Michaels, the county final was good. I thought the Glenties hard draw, the first game in Donegal Town was, you know, a fairly good game. But there was an awful lot of bad games too, Tom. You know, we can't brush over the fact that, you know, those teams getting bit by 15, 20 points. and that couldn't be good for club football in Donegal. With defensive tactics, I'm scared now to where a county manager is going to find a marquee forward or two, because very few forwards are going to get the chance to shine if they're going to have 10 and, you know, 7-8 players backing them every time they get the ball. I mean, Colin McFadden is an exception. Michael Murphy is an exception. You know, but if teams continue to close down defensive strategies as much, forwards won't get a chance to grow, to mature, to get better. And, you know, I just don't know where we're going to get them or who will want to play forward, because if this is happening at a senior level, it's going to happen at under 21, it's going to happen at minor, and then it's going to, you know, and it has already siphled back into underage football, you know. So, you know,
do you take the view that Brendan takes, that it's kind of lazy kind of management, that managers are kind of copying what Jim McGuinness did in his first year, and they're not actually looking at their own squads and what talent they have available to them?
Because I wouldn't like to say that the managers are lazy, because, you know, club managers that take on their team are taking them on for 12 months. You know, sometimes it goes good for you and you're great, but, you know, in the case of Maxi, but it can be so different for other managers that put in. I think there's a fear. I think there's a huge fear of losing because of the criticism that comes with it, both internally within your own club and externally, I suppose, as well. I think that it's a mindset at the moment. If you set up not to lose, that you have a 50-50 chance of winning.
Yeah.
But I go back, you know, it's the way the game has been played now, and I think more teams will do it.
And Manus, just in terms of the championship, look at, we've seen the championship over the last, what, 3 or 4 years or 5 years, dominated by St. Junan's, Niamh Connell, and then Swilly. Did there any team show up this year that maybe you might say there's somebody going to about to get crash the party?
Well, I had a sneaky feeling, you know, that, you know, one of these years that St. Michael's, with the talent that they've had through the years, were going to break through. But, you know, they were unfortunate to meet such a good St. Junan side that are so well coached. And in fairness to, you know, Brenton hit the point that, you know, Maxi has coached them and they've all bought into it, you know, and that's been the difference for St. Junan's this year. So I thought St. Michael's were quite good. I mean, great array of talent over the years, but, you know, not quite hitting, you know, the high notes when they've got to the latter stages of the competition, which is a pity for the likes of Christy Toy, Brian McLaughlin and Colin McFadden, who've given huge service to the club, that, you know, it would be nice to see them win one senior championship, but maybe that's not to be. Niamh Connell too, a lot of good players, a lot of brilliant footballers, nice footballers, but the defensive strategy doesn't suit them, because they are footballers and they're not as I suppose physically strong as both Glenswilly and St. Junan's. But I have to say, from a point of view, watching Glenswilly, I mean, they were in a county final in 2011, had a great year in 12, came back last year, won it, and got to a county final this year. It's been a great 4 years for Glenswilly, with limited resources. And I know a lot of the credit will go down to Big Neil and Michael Murphy, but it takes more than that to win a couple of championships.
Would you be writing them off at this stage?
Absolutely not, Tom. You know, they'll come back, they'll come strong. But I do think, and as long as the championship is played over a 6 or 7 week period, I think it'll suit more of the stronger sides, the likes of St. Junan's will be hard to beat.
And tell me, standout players for you in the championship?
Well, the game's you know, it's very hard to pass. Rory Kavanagh, I thought, you know, Eamon Doherty too. I mean, their final performances were good. I thought Anthony Thompson's performance for Glenties in the second half against Ardán Donegal was, to me, one of the best displays I've seen for a long time of one individual player pulling his team back from 6 points down. I thought that was, you come through a championship and you could watch 5 or 6 games and you won't see a player take control of a match. And considering the year that, or the last 4 years that Anthony's put in, you know, he's over and back from London to play the game, I thought it was exceptional.
Yeah, and Brendan, for you, the standout players?
Yeah, and again, the three that mentioned by Maxi or by Manus there obviously stood out, so they did. And, you know, it was interesting. Most games that are, and I was at a lot of the games, Tom, it was the county men that were standing up, and they were the boys that really stood head and shoulders above everyone else on the pitch. And yes, there are some good young players, like Connor Park, Darren Mulgrew, a couple of these lads maybe with Unions. There's a Shane O'Donnell lad. I think he's only a young fella, a red lad that plays in the wing with Ardra that kind of impressed me too, and the big Brendan McNeilis guy in the middle of the field. And there's a couple of players like that that maybe could be developed. But when you look at the county squad that's there at the minute, you'd have to think that most of the players that are performing well in the club championship are already on it. There may be space for another couple, but most of them that are there already, Tom, from what I've seen in all the games that I've witnessed over the last 6 weeks.
And Brendan, in terms of teams, who have been the big disappointment in the championship for you?
Well, for me, the big disappointment would have to be Bedore. I was expecting a bit more from them, with the quality they have at their disposal. I thought that they would have been pushing on, and I thought that the longer they pushed on, the more difficult they would have been to beat going into the winter and the heavier pitches. I suppose they were the most disappointing. The most disappointed would probably have been St. Michael's in the semi-final. You know, they played very well, and it was a fantastic game of football, and they just came out the wrong side. And probably the defining moment in the whole of the championship was Darren Mulgrew's goal that night against St. Michael's, because Michael's were 4 points up at the time and looked to have a fair degree of control on the game, and that seemed to open up the way for Unions to go on and win the game. So I think they'd have been very disappointed that evening, and rightly so, you know, and particularly Colm Anthony and Christie. You know, I don't think anyone would begrudge them winning a county title, Tom.
And in terms of Niamh Connell, and we know the situation that arose with them, and I know there's a story in the Democrat tomorrow saying that it's probably not over just yet either. In terms of Niamh Connell, do you have any sympathy for them and their black card situation, or the game in O'Donnell Park?
Oh, of course. You'd have to feel that there was a bit of injustice there, and that things were got wrong, as can happen in any sport or any walk of life. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but you'd have to feel a certain amount of sympathy for Dave Connell in that respect. So you would, Tom.
Yeah. And Manus, I know your sympathies went out to Kilcar when they didn't make it through to the quarter final.
Yeah, I mean, Kilcar were probably one of the teams that, you know, would have fancied themselves maybe to go a bit further. You know, they won the league, they won it fairly comfortably. They had a good squad of players. You know, the county manager now who was looking after them, so they were in a good position. But I think probably they hadn't the strength and depth maybe that the Unions and Michaels and Glenties and Glensfully possess. I suppose the biggest, the disappointing aspect of the championship for me was the way that the Glenties club were handled after the incident occurred. I mean, any referee can make a mistake, I mean, and that's the way. But I don't think we shouldn't have to go down where we have to go appealing. If we can't sit in a room and discuss just what was, a fairly innocent mistake by Jimmy White, and in fairness to him, he held up his hand straight away, and it's very unlike Jimmy, because he's been fairly consistent over the years, you know. You know, and that's a pity that it has gone to that, and I believe it's not over yet. So,
yeah. You
know, that's disappointing. And
yeah, there was a story in the Democrat in the morning saying that they're going to Croke Park on Friday night. They're appealing their case, and it's going to be heard. So we mightn't have heard the last of it yet. So,
just one thing, Tom. I thought Martin Call's performance in the county final for a
good
young
point,
man, referee, and for a couple of years was quite, you know, quite good. Like, and I thought I'm very good.
Manus Boyle, thank you indeed. My thanks to Manus Boyle, to Brendan Kilcoyne, and to Paul McDevitt on sound. From me, Tom Cormack, Gujian Shachtan Shahogan on Clara Cumann Luke Class Gael, Shachtan Shah Slanagas Bannock.